Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. All our radio programs are there on MP3 files. Also, our TV programs can be viewed there. If you miss one, you want to go back and review one, you may do so. We also have an invitation for a free Bible correspondence course through the email that you can take. We also have an invitation if you would like a private Bible study done either at my offices or in your home. We'd be more than happy to do that. It's our hope and prayer to help you have a better understanding of God's Word, and you need to have a relationship with the Son of God. Lastly, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We are discussing an overview of the Bible. We have completed the Old Testament and the majority of the New, and now we begin a new book this morning, the book of 1 John. And we're going to look at the first chapter in the first epistle of John. John was an apostle, is the author of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, also the Gospel of John, and also the book of Revelation. So he wrote 5 of the New Testament books. In this particular book, the theme of this whole book, not just this chapter, but the majority of this book, is the theme of love, and that love consists of the love that needs to exist between brethren. But in this particular first chapter, we want to look at the teaching concerning our responsibilities in our relationship with God. In verse 1, John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. And we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. That these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Now, the Apostle John says that he wrote to them things that were from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of his relationship with the Lord when he was called to be one of his chosen apostles. He said, "We have heard him. We have seen him with our own eyes." They talked with him. They heard him speak. They saw him with their own eyes. They looked upon him. They had a personal relationship with him. And their hands handled. They had a close relationship with. And concerning the word of life, they tell us that this relationship with Christ was referred to as a word of life. And the life was manifest. That word manifest means made known. And we have seen. And that life that was made known to them, they saw. They were eyewitnesses. They bear witness. And they declared to us that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest to us. The eternal life was in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was deity. Because he was God. Because he was God's Son. God sent him here to do his will and to prepare men for the coming of the new kingdom, and also to give his life as a ransom for many. And it says in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, we make known to you, we tell you, we instruct you, that you may also have fellowship with us." Now this word fellowship in this context with us is talking about spiritual fellowship. The apostles had spiritual fellowship with the Lord, and we can have that same fellowship if we listen to the things that have been declared to us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That fellowship with God is to be enjoyed by his Son and with him. And we can only have that fellowship if we listen to the words of that which was made known to us so that we could know what to do in order to maintain this fellowship, in order to be included in this fellowship and be partaker of this fellowship and have this communion, enjoy participation with Christ by being in his family, therefore giving us the opportunity of having this spiritual fellowship that can start here and last through all eternity. Now, verse 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Now, there were messages that they heard from the Lord. He taught them. He instructed them. He instructed them in parables. And then he would explain the meaning of the parables. And so they heard much teaching of the Lord. And that which they heard and that which they knew, they are declaring. He is declaring to us. And what is he declaring us? That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Anyone that has to come to Christ has to be in the light. The light here represents the truth. God is light. God is the truth. And those of us that want a relationship with God must walk in the truth. Why? Because he has no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 11. There's no darkness in him. There's no sin in him. He's perfect. He was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, 15. He was a pure, sinless Son of God. He never committed sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. We read that earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1. And so this God in him is no light, and there's no darkness in him. This is the one that we need to seek to have fellowship with, spiritual fellowship. Now, listen to verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. A man cannot be in fellowship with God if he walks in darkness, if he walks in sin, if he practices sin, if he participates in sin, if he has fellowship in sin, if he is a person that continues to do sinful things. He cannot have fellowship with God. Why? Because it's impossible. God does not have fellowship with sin. Ephesians 5, verse 11. And so we must understand, if we're going to have fellowship with him, then we have to walk not in darkness. We have to walk apart from sin. We can't live in, we can't practice, and we can't participate in sin because that will destroy our relationship with Christ. Now, if we say that we're in fellowship with God and we do things that are contrary to God's will and things that are opposed by his teaching, then we're a liar. We lie and do not practice the truth. We're misconceiving. We're misdirecting. And we're deceiving ourselves. If a man says that he loves God and loves his word, then he has to follow his teaching. But if he says he's in fellowship with God and does not practice truth, then he's lying to himself. He's deceiving himself. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, what does that mean? If we walk according to the truth. If my manner of life is to live according to the truth, then I'm walking in the light, and I have fellowship with God. You, man, to have fellowship with one another, must first have fellowship with God. My fellowship with God is dependent upon me continuing to walk in truth. To walk in truth, to continue to follow the things that have been revealed to me in Scripture that I must add to my life in order to understand my proper knowledge of God and to practice those things that are taught and are commanded by God in his word. And if I walk in the light, in that truth, and I continue to practice that truth, if I continue to mold my life around that truth and to do those things that God has required of me, then I have fellowship with God. And having fellowship with God, then I'm in a position of being in the household of God that I have access to the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. When I fall myself out of step, when I fall back into sin, I can repent. I can turn away from it. I can acknowledge it. And I can pray to God and he'll forgive me. Why? Because as a member of his family, I have continued access to the blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin. The blood of Christ cleanses a man from sin when he repents and he turns away from sin. It is dignified and it is demonstrated by God that we must leave sin and repent of it in order for God to forgive us. Now this becomes very clear in the last two verses of chapter 1. Verse 9 says, let's read verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We've all sinned, and we will sin again. That's not the issue. We don't sin because we have to. We sin because we choose to. And if we try to say that we are above sin and we don't sin, the Bible says we're a liar and the truth not in us, because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But what do we do when we sin? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now again, a person that's in fellowship with God, if he confesses his sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now he's not talking to the alien sinner. He's talking to those who are in the family of God. And when we participate and when we practice sin, we must acknowledge our sinful acts, and we must acknowledge our sin, and if we confess them, then he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The same blood that took away our sins when we obeyed the gospel in the waters of baptism, that same blood will remit our sin after we acknowledge it and repent and turn away from it. We can read this as an example in Acts chapter 8 with Simon the sorcerer in verse 22 through 24. Now listen to verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All men have sinned. No one is exempt from sin. But we don't sin because we have to. We sin because we choose to, because we're weak, and because we make poor decisions, because we do things that are contrary to God's will. A man can do things contrary to God's will even after he enters a relationship with God. If you don't believe that, what about the children of Israel? The children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were the chosen nation. They were his special treasure. He was their God. They were his people. But yet they practiced disobedience. They fell back into sin. They transgressed his law. They disobeyed his ordinances. They practiced spiritual adultery. They went into idolatry. What did God do? He demanded that they return. He demanded that they repent. And when they didn't, when they rejected him, when they rejected the offering and the teaching of the prophets who tried to steer them back into the paths of righteousness, to try to steer them back to God, when they rejected those pleadings and when they rejected his long-suffering and his love to repent of their sinful conduct, God destroyed them with captivity, first in Assyria to Israel and then to Judah in Babylonia 135 years later. But why did he destroy them? Because they failed to repent. They failed to turn back to God. They failed to get out of sin. And if we say we've not sinned, then we're a liar. All men have sinned, but the tragedy is not in and of itself of sin. Sin is only a tragedy if you don't do anything about it. When we find ourselves guilty of sin, when we find ourselves out of step with God, we need to repent. We need to acknowledge that sin. We need to pray and confess our sin to God. And when we do, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll put us back in that covenant relationship, and then we'll again be walking in the light as he's in the light. And while we're in that light, then we have fellowship with God and continue access to the blood of Christ. These passages make it absolutely mandatory that if a person wants to have constant access to the blood of Christ, they have to do two things. They have to be in Christ first, and number two, they have to maintain that relationship by walking in the light and walking according to truth. My dear friend, are you walking in the light? Do you have a relationship with Christ? Are you in the family of God? If not, please allow us to show you how you can and how you can maintain that relationship to have fellowship with God in here and to continue throughout all eternity.